Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danny Cahalan, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. Thank you for joining us. No matter who you are, where you are, how you may be listening, we appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning. Text the keyword sports radio to 21000, sports radio to 21000. Meijer Supercenter guest line 248-951-2176, 248-951-2176. You know, one of the things I really enjoy having are fun sports conversations, right? And ones, and it could be conversations about anything. It could be sports, life, politics, whatever. As long as it is done in a manner where everybody can kind of keep their cool. And I feel like a lot of times on Twitter, you can't really read like somebody's tone of voice. But usually you can kind of tell the minute they start calling you names of where they're at, kind of, you know, on the fence of like, hey, is this a civil conversation? Are we just, you know, conversing about something, or are we going to argue about something? We're probably going to see things a little bit differently than our next topic on the Detroit Lions. But I did want to mention this. Detroit Tigers, how about the Candyman, Jamer Candelario, leading all players in doubles with 40 entering last night, three up on Marcus Semien and J.D. Martinez. So J.D. from the Sox and Blue Jays got Marcus there, and there's 3 weeks left in the season. If he can hold on to the lead, he'd become the fourth Tiger to lead the AL in doubles since baseball expanded to a 162-game schedule back in 1961. You can read up more on that in the Detroit Free Press.
I was going to see if you could, if you actually had the names and we could take some stabs at those names.
Ooh, I do not have the names in front of me.
Because I'm not sure, but I know Nick Castellanos led. He led the league, but it was the season he was traded. Mm. So when he went, he got traded to the Cubs, right, that year? Yeah, with in the Justin Wilson deal. He hit like 25 doubles after the trade from the Tigers, and because, you know, Wrigley Field, he was just bouncing them off the wall.
I am so impressed by this. So how about this? Nick Castellanos is actually not included in the list because he had 37 doubles in the AL when he was traded to the NL, and he hit 21 more. You said 25. It was 21. I am so impressed that you could remember that. Just 51 games with the Cubs.
Yeah,
to finish with literally 58 on the year.
Because nobody, obviously, you can't run into the wall at Wrigley, so he's just peppering the wall, and nobody's going to run into it and get, you know, get their knock block, their block knocked off from the concrete, so.
Knock some blocks, bro. And it's interesting because he had 58 doubles on the year in that season in 2019, which was four more than the AL leader and 14 more than the NL co-leaders, but it didn't count because he played a split season. Like, that's kind of crazy, right? Ty Cobb only led the AL three times, but is the franchise career leader in doubles with 665. That's pretty crazy. Erringer's there at 574. Kaline's there at 498. And at 411, Cabrera probably not going to catch Ty Cobb. But Miggy's next double will tie him with Alan Trammell for sixth in team history. Lou Whitaker is fifth with 420. So there's a couple more.
When Tiger Stadium was 440 feet, it was probably pretty easy to get doubles out there.
Home run numbers down, double numbers up. Let's get into what's going on in the perimeter right now for the Detroit Lions. Wide receiver Tyrell Williams is in concussion protocol. He had two catches, and the camera had shifted over to him. So one of the things that I have to do is record the games and go back and watch, because from my vantage point in what I'm doing throughout the course of the game, you know, I'm trying to watch as much as possible, but a majority of the game I have to watch on the same screen. That it'd be like watching the Jumbotron the whole time, right? And then I'm bouncing around from the second floor up to the seventh floor, and I'm focusing in on my responsibility throughout the game, and for halftime is we need highlights from around the league. Right, so who's doing what? Who's scoring? Where are we at? How much time do I have to run back down to the desk? And pray to God everything times out okay. So I miss some things from time to time throughout the course of the game. And Tyrell Williams is in concussion protocol. He was the number one wide receiver and the big, I guess, offseason, you know, signing, if you wanted to say it that way, for this Lions team. And Jeff Okuda now with the Achilles injury. I saw something that was written that said Jeff Okuda's injury proves that the Lions are a cursed franchise. And I saw that, you know, he had said that, you know, everything's within the plan and blah, blah, blah. And the Lions tweeted out like, hey, we're all with you, Jefe. And they're like, at least spell his name right. And it's like, that's you know, that's a nickname for him, but it's not a big deal. And I just, when it comes to Jeff Okuda, some of the responses there by some of the quote-unquote fans, I was kind of disappointed in, because here's a young man that has a lot of expectation on him at number three. And has he lived up to the number three overall pick? No, he has not. Part of that I credited to the fact that they didn't get their whole offseason. I don't want to go into all that again, because I feel like I have to do that every single day with Jeff Okuda. But it did hurt all rookies. It hurt them all. This year he had the full offseason, full training camp, and an entire preseason, which the entirety of the preseason now being 3 weeks. And from all reports, things were going well. And he was improving. You know, he took some time, you know, this offseason to kind of improve where he was at mentally and in his space of where he wanted to be, how he saw himself. And there's a lot of pressure on these young men that I just I try to reinforce the point that they are human beings trying to perform. I'm not making an excuse for him. He didn't play well at all on Sunday. And it's disappointing, because it's like, this guy's got all the tools in the world to be a fantastic lockdown corner. And then all you can do is kind of hope to point to Darius Slay and the fact that he struggled his first few years in the league as well before he really got it figured out, right? But if you're the number three overall pick, you're expected to come in right away, start, be a contributor, and be a difference maker. Like, that's what first rounders are. They're supposed to be difference makers on your team. And Jeff Okuda has not lived up to that yet. And it's, I say yet because there's still time, but the Achilles injury to a cornerback, to a guy who starts off every play facing the football and having to run backwards, history says it's not ideal. Maybe he's not a number one corner, right? Maybe you spent the number three overall pick on a guy that's going to turn out to be, he's not it. Maybe he's better off in a nickel position and corner somewhere that they have to go back and address. But that's what we have to figure out. And this season, you know, if you follow along with the people that cover the team, and everybody has their own opinion, right? And I saw something from, I think it was Justin Rogers, who had said it yesterday. It's like, man, it's crazy that the national media is just now figuring out what we have been trying to say for so many years in regards to Matthew Stafford, right? When you look at the folks that are around the facility that cover the game, that watch, you know, this is their job, this is their profession, they've always had really good things to say about Matthew Stafford. The talent has always been there, right? Now, you can have different debates on all kinds of topics, but when they tell you that they're seeing something, and it's across the board, it's not like we have a beef where Justin Rogers, Kyle Meinke, you know, Nick Bumgardner, Chris Burke, they're all on opposite sides of the table going, well, you know, it seems like most people are trending in the direction of, hey, from what we are seeing firsthand at camp and what we are hearing when we're having our discussions with the coaching staff, they really like the improvements that he's made. You have to rely on that evaluation, not your evaluation of, hey, he played Julio Jones this week and got, you know, toasted. San Francisco's a team that's supposed to be competing for a Super Bowl. They fell asleep in the second half. They now have more injury concerns, much like they did last year. And I look at the concussion protocol for Tyrell Williams. The reason I brought up not being able to see everything all the time is because I did catch on the TV where, you know, Coach Campbell had walked over and kind of give him like a thumbs up or a thumbs down. He gave him the old gladiator, like, what are we doing here? And you could tell that Campbell said, you know, okay, like, go ahead and, you know, go sit down or whatever, because that was going to be it for Williams. And injuries and attrition, it's all part of it. It's all part of it. You know, who could stay healthiest is always a battle in the sport of professional football. And basically in any sport. I mean, ask the Brooklyn Nets. If they could have stayed healthy, we might be singing a different tune here about the super team out east. Might not be a Greek freak kind of title. But health is a big part of the game. It plays a role. And now the Lions, who knows how long Williams will be out. We'll keep you updated on that. But they've got a big Monday night football game coming up. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited to watch the Manning cast and see their breakdown of Jared Goff, because I think that's going to be really cool. Let's step aside. We'll shift gears, talk a little college football next with John Wagner. His Super 16 poll is out from the National Football Foundation of Football Writers Association of America. You can find it on their website. You can find it on Yahoo Sports as well. We're back with more here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Bet on more than the final score during pro football season with One Game Parlay at BetMGM. One Game Parlay is an exciting feature designed to help you make selections within a single game from over 400 different bet types, including team and player props. Log into your BetMGM account and create your best parlay before the game even starts. One Game Parlay is the fast and easy way to combine your same game win, total, and prop picks. New to BetMGM? No problem. Sign up today and make your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 with my bonus code SHEPBET. You can place one-game parlay bets on football, baseball, soccer, and a whole lot more. Go ahead and take your favorite player to score, the home team to cover, and the over in touchdowns. Log in today and download the BetMGM app. Try the one-game parlay with the king of sportsbooks. New customer offer, paid and free bets. Must be 21 years or older. Michigan only. If you think you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons.
Tell me that went out over the air, Dan.
It did not.
Did you give the People's Champ over the air just now?
No, it did not. But this is one of my This is one of my all-time classic favorite songs. If you don't know Sittin' Sideways by Paul Wall and Bun B, I'm sorry.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. A lot of riveting debates happening right now. Should they, you know, what are they going to do? What are the Lions going to do with Taylor Decker when he comes back? Let's cross that bridge when we get there. Let's see how we can improve the downfield passing game.
Move him to corner
For the Lions, and we'll maybe they'll move Taylor Decker to left corner. I don't know. There was a discussion with Taylor Decker, I believe, in the offseason about moving from left tackle to right tackle. He talked about muscular imbalance. You know, so how much that would play a role? Would they perhaps make a move and you know, keep Penei Sewell on that left side of the line at tackle and move Decker to guard? Would they tinker with that? Would they try, you know, would they shuffle the deck a little bit? I don't know. This is a great problem to have, though. I'd rather say, hey, what are we going to do when the guy whose finger's all whacked out of shape, when that gets solved, bring him back, and we'll go from there and figure out how we're going to solve this problem moving forward. This is a good problem to have. Like, yeah, we've got some depth now at this position. That's awesome. And the youngster played really well against Nick Bosa.
Yeah,
really,
but see,
well.
That's the...
I thought the entire offensive line played pretty well.
I don't disagree with that. I mean,
he's getting frustrated. Did you hear the inhale?
No.
Did you hear the inhale? He's getting aggravated.
No, I understand. Like, you're saying, yeah, we have depth at left tackle now. But do we have a right tackle?
Mm-hmm.
Who?
That's what we need to find out.
Say, sure as hell was it Matt Nelson. He was the only guy standing out on the offensive line in a bad way Sunday.
You know, I was very interested in a statistic that I saw, a statistical breakdown of the running game here, and I'm gonna try to find it as quickly as possible, so I can get this to you. But it was a breakdown of how the running backs ran for the Detroit Lions, and moving both Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift, where they ran on what down and things of that nature. And I thought it was really good. It was really good. So I'm gonna try to find that as we speak right now. But I think that's I'd much rather have a problem of who's gonna play left tackle and, you know, how are we gonna move this guy from point A to point B, and when Taylor Decker comes back, and is this going to be a situation where we do see some movement there from Decker? Is he going to stay on the left side because of, like he said, muscular imbalance? And maybe that's that's kind of the kicker to this whole thing. Or, you know, is this a situation where do they move him to left guard? Do they shuffle the line a little bit? You know, who's going to play on the right side? But I found it very interesting that in rush yards per carry, all right, yards per carry by direction, you know, looking at the 4 and the 6, right, between the right guard and the right tackle, Not bouncing out to the edge, but going basically right tackle. 9.3 yards per carry. In the middle, behind your center, 4.4 yards per carry in the A-gaps. Right? And then off left tackle, 5 yards per carry. DeAndre Swift carried it 9 times on first down, 2 times on second down. Jamal Williams went for 5 times on first down, 2 times on second down. It ran twice on fourth down, neither of which had a carry on third down that I found was very interesting. And Jamal Williams, although he only had 2 carries on the down, so this number is going to go, it's going to sound a little crazy. But on second down, Jamal Williams, 13 yards a carry on second down. 4.6 on first down. DeAndre Swift, 4.7 on first down. They really, I mean, only carrying the ball 22 times. Or pardon me, 20 times in total. They ran 11 times in the A-gap between the center and the guards. That's pretty, like, that's, and that was their highest when it came to frequency. That was the most that they had. And their explosive runs qualified as 10 yards or more. But following the right tackle, they had 2, which was the most of the game. They had 1 explosive run of 10 yards or more in the A-gaps behind the center. And they had 1 up the left side going left tackle. So I just found I found that the chart and the breakdown of their game against the San Francisco 49ers to be, I thought that that was just some interesting information. It's all about, like, you know, the information you get, how you process it. But I'm still very concerned about the downfield passing game that seemed, you know, outside of running backs and tight ends, there really wasn't a whole lot of distribution there. I saw some people going back and forth. Was it Quandre Diggs maybe who talked about Aubrey Pleasant getting after Jeff Okuda and you know, discussing the adverse to it, which I thought was interesting, that he took kind of a different approach than most did when discussing Aubrey Pleasant's heated exchange and then the head touch there at the end where they went like forehead to forehead, and in a kind, loving way. But every player is going to react differently to coaching, and that's the coach's, you know, that's their number one task is how do you maximize the most out of the players that you have on the roster. Aubrey Pleasant is a guy with a lot of experience. He's coached a lot of guys and had, you know, good, and those guys had a lot of good seasons, namely Jalen Ramsey. He comes in with a lot of experience. Maybe Jeff Okuda is the kind of guy that needs a little bit of a flame lit under him. But also, we don't know anything about their relationship. And Dan Campbell said, like, you know, do you want to see it? Not really, but kind of. You know, because after you sometimes, you know, after a coach and a player get that off their chest, then you can get some real work done. And I think that that's, you know, there's something to be said about that. I think that there's something to be said about. Oh, go ahead.
I was saying Glover Quinn kind of put on Instagram. He kind of took the other way.
Was it Glover? I said Quandre.
Glover Quinn was the one on Instagram post that said, you know, this is ridiculous. How can you, like, kind of treat a professional and a man like that, blah, blah, blah. And I think part of it, too, is like, well, it depends. If he's talking, Aubrey Pleasant's going to talk to Glover Quinn different than he talks to second-year player Jeff Okuda. Like,
this is true. And we don't know what Jeff was saying in return.
Right. I say that's why it's like context matters, because, like, you can – coaches can get away just of a one-sided argument away with the younger player, especially a new regime. Like, this is what we need from you. Do your job. With Glover Quinn, it's going to be a much more calm approach because, you know.
You should know better.
Right. Someone in Glover's perspective, it's like, come on, man. You know better than this. This is what we're doing. Correct it.
Right. And they get out the iPad, and you might be saying to Glover Quinn, what were you seeing here? Here's what we see. What are you seeing? And allow Glover to explain himself from the hey, this, that, and the third. We were in film. Like, there's so much more.
Right. You're talking to a coach on the field. This is someone who still needs to be coached.
Yes. And how do you get that coach on the field? You have to have the experience to do it. You have to live through this. You have to take your growing pains as a youngster. I just hate this idea that because somebody puts a foot in your rear end, that all of a sudden it's like the end of the world for everybody. And you have a lot of people that have never been in that environment specifically, but in the athletic arena, that just see this as some sort of like travesty. Like, he's, you know, he's stripping him of his manhood. Like, he's yelling at him. Like, so many people can't handle just being yelled at. It's wild to me. Like we're in this weird space right now where like you have to just touch everybody with these white gloves. Like, no, sometimes you have to tell somebody to go bleep themselves. This is the way that we're going to do it. You know, in years and years of that kind of, I'll call it coaching for this experiment here, this example, this conversation, you know, Freddy the Pizza Man, I'm sure, is going to lose his mind on an employee at some point. Now, who is that employee he's losing his mind on? Is it someone that he can speak to in a certain manner that he wouldn't handle in a different manner? You know what I'm saying? My uncle's going to talk to me. Well, he might not be the best example because he kind of talks to everybody the same way, which isn't necessarily a good thing. But he can talk to me differently in different settings than he can a regular employee, especially in today's world. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to say things to me that are beyond foul that a regular employee is going to be like, okay, like I need to call somebody. But for me, like that's his coaching. That's his style of coaching. It just took me a long time to be able to figure that out. So if Aubrey Pleasant's got to put his foot in the rear end of Jeff Okuda, like I'm 100% okay with that. We're going to step aside. We're going to come back. We're going to talk Michigan, Michigan State, maybe a little bit more on the Lions. Take your calls, your text, comments, all of that as well. Don't go anywhere. Keep it locked right here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Why drive to the casino when you can enjoy the excitement of Vegas-style games and jackpots right from your phone? Download the Twin Spires Casino app now and you'll unlock 24 hours of risk-free casino play up to $500 plus 250 free spins. Just register using the promo code FREEDAY. Twin Spires Casino. Launch your 24-hour getaway today. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit twinspires.com. Must be 21 years of age and older and present in Michigan to bet. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117.
Huge here for anybody who owns a business, or if you're making financial decisions for a business, no matter how small or how big they are, Tom Rosenbach and his team at Bean Garter can help you today. They're one of America's top accounting and business firms. They're based in downtown Grand Rapids. They service all of Michigan and coast to coast in America. Find out more at beangarter.com. That is BEENEGARTER.com.
If you or your family is touched by autism, learn more about Freddy's Foundation at hashtag pop the tap at freddythepizzaman.com. That's FREDI, thepizzaman.com. Or email freddythepizzaman at gmail.com.
Huge here for your local Meijer. Now everybody knows Meijer is connected to local teams, college teams, high schools, pros, and more throughout the state of Michigan. So what it means is when you're shopping at your local Meijer, you're basically shopping for your local community. And Meijer is proud to partner with Little Leagues, youth sports, high school sports, college sports, and pro sports throughout the state of Michigan. Remember, when you shop Meijer, you're shopping for your local community.
Back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Dana, Caitlin, Ryan, Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. Thank you for joining us, no matter who you are, where you are, or how you may be listening, all across the great state of Michigan and in Northwest Ohio as well, from Traverse City down to the Glass City, GR, across to the Motor City. We say thank you. We appreciate you. And we're glad to have you riding with us this morning. Text the keyword sports radio to 21000 or holler at us at the Meijer Supercenter guest line, 248-951-2176, 248-951-2176. We're on Twitter at XB Mornings, Facebook, X's and Bros. And, of course, good morning to our television audience as well, Comcast Channel 900 and BCSN on Buckeye Broadband. Also, the coach, Jeff Blashill of the Detroit Red Wings, he will join us tomorrow at 8 o'clock. If you have questions for him, tweet at us. Let us know, but put it in the thread. Find the tweet at XB Mornings and tweet us your questions at XB Mornings or at AC Bellino. It's right there in the thread. Try to keep them all in the thread. That way we can kind of keep them all together and try to get as many of those questions as we already got a really good one from Bob Rose. Anything you want to know from Coach Blashill, keep it smart, keep it intelligent, keep it realistic. Don't be nasty. All right. Dan, we got action on the phone line over there?
That's right, Freddie the Pizza Man is on hold.
Freddie the Pizza Man is on hold. Freddie the Pizza Man. Hey, guess what? The outing, much better date, early August. Love that for the date of the annual golf outing. Freddie, good morning to you, my friend. Happy Tuesday.
Hey, I'm so happy I can accommodate you, my friend.
Well, I like the date that it's in early August. You're talking about accommodating me. We haven't discussed schedules. I don't know what that looks like, in 2022.
Well, I do. I didn't pick the week before because of the Rocket tournament got moved to the end of July. Thanks to Dan, I found that out. Dan brought it up a couple weeks ago. Thank you, Dan. And the August 6th probably is going to end up being the Lions family day. Usually the first week of August is always the Lions family day. I have a feeling you're not going to be able to attend, my friend. But you'll be there in spirit, though.
Well, we'll see. We won't put the cart in front of the horse. What do you got for us on the sports side of things today?
Yeah, the Lions might fire you. Who knows? Just kidding.
You could get let go. Hey, I'm telling you this much. Last game, I was atrocious. I sucked. I'll call it what it is. I'm not afraid. That was not a good performance on my end last game. We're working through some things, but you just got to be better than that.
But it can't be easy with having the fans back because not all the girls are coming back. So when you're working on your desk, all these girls are walking by.
Can I tell you something? First off, yeah, you're right. The population was we look good out there, Lions fans. We look good. You did good, Detroit. You did good, kid. But I had a fan come up to me during the it was a guy. And I'm going to use this for context here. He's probably about 5'6", 5'7", but says he's 5'10" on the internet. He's got a tank top on. He obviously does not miss a workout, and I'm proud of him for that. Like, if your body's in good physical condition, that's something that you have to dedicate yourself to regularly. So nothing but respect on that end. But don't come to me with your cutoff, pumped up sleeves and telling me anything. Like, he keeps asking, what time are you on? What station's this on? What are you doing? Okay, bro, I get it. You're a little drunk. That's fine. We get through the hit, and I turn around, and he's still standing there. So I, after our red zone hit, so I turn around, and I take my headset off, and he obviously wants to say something. So I'm going to, I'll take my time, and I'll talk to the guy. And he wants to tell me that the lady won't let him up the escalator to get back to his suite. And I said, well, where are you sitting? Like, where's your ticket at? He's like, I don't have my ticket, but I'm in section whatever, but my company has a suite on the sixth floor. I said, oh, your company has a suite on the sixth floor. He's like, yeah. And I was like, and you don't have a ticket or a pass? Like, nothing on your phone? You don't have your, ticket credential? Like, they're not going to let you up there. He's like, that's BS. That's my company suite. And I said, well, what company? And he said, Quicken Loans. I said, that's not, you don't look anything like Dan Gilbert. That's Dan Gilbert's company. Who are you? And he looked at me like he swallowed a frog, right? And I'm like, I'm just being honest with you, dude. Nobody knows who you are. Like, I don't know what to tell you, but that woman over there is doing her job. And her job, by description, is unless they have a ticket, you're not going up that elevator, up that escalator, up those stairs over there. That's the way that it is. He's like, well, I left to get pizza for somebody. I said, you got to call somebody up there and have them bring you a ticket. I don't know. I'm not going to be able to help you. I don't know why you're telling me this. I don't care, but I can't help you. I'm just telling you what you need to hear, obviously, because you think that for whatever reason, whoever you work for gives you some sort of special pass. You ain't got tickets? You ain't going anywhere, Chief.
He needs to be in the Danny's Foods Market suite next time to get everything catered to him right away.
If that would have been my mother trying to get up there, you know what I'd tell her? Where's your ticket at? They're not going to let you up, Mom. I don't know what to tell you. Like, I'm sorry. They look at my credential every time I go up the elevator. I see the same people in the elevator. You want to know why? Because it's the rules, Freddie, and I'm going to follow the rules. Why do you have your mask on? Because it's the rules. I have to wear one. It's recommended for you, but not required. For me as an employee, I have to wear one unless I'm at my desk. So when I get up from my desk, you put the mask on. Follow the rules. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know those rule followers. I was at catechism for my kids yesterday, and I had my wife's sister refused to have her kids wear masks. I thought it was funny as heck. But, what are you going to do? Even family has issues. But, real quick, AB, I want to get into my point. I don't want to stay long. I feel terrible being that long. But you look like Jimmy G. I wanted to tell you that. Did you play the second half of the San Francisco game?
I felt like I did. It's just offensive sputter. I fumbled that opening snap. I felt terrible about Jimmy. A lot of people say that, and they're like, Anthony, I've never seen you and Jimmy G in the same place at the same time. I said, I know. I get it. I understand. It's tough life here.
So you trigger me. You trigger me to call, and I say this all the time. I think I told you this, and maybe I told you on the show. I believe in my heart that all people in 11th and 12th grade should work in the restaurant business versus a science program.
100%.
I think they would learn 1,000% more working with the food industry and people and social skills and all that stuff than they would learn in science, because the science is not going to take them so far unless you actually get into science. But that's just my opinion. I treat my employees all different here. You're right. You're 100% right.
You have to.
I got one. I have one that completely is probably my best and loyal person, but she spaces out the most. So I always have to be on top of her, which always makes me look like the bad guy. You know, you're always on top of me, but you're not on top of them. Because I let things get away with the other ones because they do their job so well that I don't have to say anything to them about their actual job. That's what you're here for, is your actual job. Mm-hmm. So if I always have to harp on you, I always equate it to a basketball player when they don't have the ball. How good are they when they don't have the ball? You know, Eric Ebron, how good was he when he didn't catch the ball? He was out screaming and crying and blah, blah, blah. It was all that stuff. Look at Taylor Lewan. Everyone knows me. I wanted Taylor Lewan over Ebron at that time. We needed a left tackle. Oh, Taylor Lewan's he's a bully. He beat up people in college and blah, blah, blah. And he goes on Twitter the other day and owns that he got schooled.
I saw that.
Chandler Jones.
Yep,
yeah,
I saw that.
I thought that was cool as hell. And you got a guy like Ebron taking to social media that he can't handle not getting the ball. And mm-hmm. it just shows you the difference in players, shows you the difference in employees. But the Ikuda thing, you know what bugs me about the Ikuda thing? You know, forget about the quarterback, because how nice would it have been to have a young quarterback here right now with this rebuild. But Bob Quinn should have known these. When you drafted number three, all the tape that you look at, you had to know this guy pouted or whatever between plays, between games, to make him the number three pick. This just didn't happen when he got to the Lions. It had to be something that was going on through his whole career. That's what drives me crazy. And it's a number three pick, AB. It's a number three pick. He's never going to be the same again because of the Achilles injury. That's a terrible injury. I mean, look at Kevin Jones, the running back for the Lions, a Lisfranc injury. Those things just, you know, Ryan will tell you, his wife's a PT, my wife's a PT. You don't come back from those things, man. You just don't.
And if you don't rehab correctly, it's going to linger. And any sort of injury that lingers takes your career and just derails it 100%. Like, it's an awful injury.
Yeah.
And part of me wonders is that because of all of the, you know, he was like the consensus number one corner in the draft. And there was a question, should they go with linebacker or like that star Viper, depending on what team you play for and what system it is. Basically, it's like a hybrid sort of big safety, small linebacker, you know, runs around a lot in what would be referred to as like a nickel sort of situation. But their star, their Viper position in Simmons coming out of Clemson. And he really struggled last year to see the field. But I wonder with Jeff Okuda, did you get away with a lot at Ohio State because you were better than everybody else? And that's the one thing that the professional game does, and it really does. It exposes the absolute cream of the crop. And if you are the best at your position, you will survive and you will play a long time. And if you're not, you will get replaced. And it's a brutal world to live in, but you wonder if that, because he was at Ohio State, because the receivers that he was seeing, the lack of a vertical passing game in the Big Ten, you know what I mean? I wonder if all of these factors kind of played into it and what he could get away with there with that coaching staff versus what he can or cannot get away with here at the professional level now with this coaching staff and with the previous one. It all plays a role into the development of the player, and I just would have liked to have seen him kind of play out this year, and unfortunately we're not going to see it. Now it's trending, Freddie, more towards your end of the spectrum than where I was at, trying to allow this kid some time. You basically throw the clock out the window, and you might have to look at corner now in the very immediate future.
I would love to know who was number two and three corner in that draft. And I look back to Quandre Diggs. I believe he was drafted as a corner when the Lions took him. He was a slot corner in Texas. They made him a safety. He's a really good safety. Maybe he's got a chance there. But lastly, I was looking at the Bob Quinn's past drafts, and last night, and to think of all the talent that should be on this team right now contributing, Graham Glasgow, H.R. Robinson, Tavai, Jared Davis. Those guys should be in their prime right now with this team playing at their highest level in their fourth, fifth years. And it just sucks as a Lions fan. I hope with these picks that Holmes gets in 3-4 years, we're looking at these guys staying with the Lions and being in the NFL and contributing, because their talent level, I thought they'd be a little bit better than they were. I was shocked how bad they were, and the talent, not much talent on that team. I was shocked. I was blindfolded. I didn't see that coming. So thanks, guys.
Freddie, appreciate the call. I absolutely agree, and it might not be the restaurant. Like, I always get scared of the restaurant business. I know Freddie's business is a lot different because he closes, you know, 5-6 o'clock in the evening. So I always get. But if I had a daughter, the restaurant business scares me. Just because, you know, knowing people that work in the restaurant business, like the servers and the cooks, it's a very, if you haven't worked in the restaurant field, and I'm not talking, like, I don't know if it happens at a Ruth Chris, but, you know, where I grew up at, the local Red Lobster, you know, the Red Lobsters of the world, the Applebee's of the world, it's not offense to their brand. It's just, you know, you have individual people working in there. Some of the things that were going on, like if I had a daughter, no thanks. Like, I'll pass on that. Retail in general, though, absolutely. I think that everybody should work in the retail industry, because you get a much better feel for how ridiculous our society is and how dumb people are. But that's a conversation for another day. But Freddie's absolutely right. You're gonna coach people differently. And it took me a long time to understand why I was talked to differently. Why was I treated differently, you know, and then you look back on it and you start to understand this is why, this is the way that this individual coaches. And so you have to take that and process it the best you can and realize what he's saying is coming more from a place of aggravation than anything else. It's not like he's disappointed in you. He's just aggravated at everything that is happening, the entire circumstance. And therefore it comes across that way when you're given directions on how to do something, but not necessarily given directions. You're just told to do A, you do A the way you think you would do it. And then it turns out that, you know, that isn't, but that all comes from experience. And for young players, right? There's a clamoring right now for the Bears to play Justin Fields. And Adam Schefter said it last night on the broadcast about they're looking for they're trying to protect their future. They're looking at the big picture here with Justin Fields. Do you see the Chicago Bears with every team now in the NFC North? Do the Chicago Bears, do they need Fields to go out there and play? Do they say, hey, you know, Dalton signed a 1-year deal in the offseason, and that's fine. But is Justin Fields going to be the guy, and then you have Andy Dalton on reserve? Like, do you put him in right away? For all the people that are clamoring to play him right now, if the success isn't there right now, what do you do then with Justin Fields? You know, do you do the same sort of, do you go down the same road that the Jets just went down with Sam Darnold? Or are you okay to kind of take the Patrick Mahomes, the Aaron Rodgers, the Tom Brady sort of stance? Did Lamar Jackson play week one? I don't remember. I'm not sure, but he has a very unique set of skills, which Justin Fields might be able to bring to the table as well from a skill standpoint. So a lot of conversation there. We got derailed a little bit. I want to get into Michigan and Michigan State. Just some thoughts. I still remain very concerned. I'll start with Michigan. I remain very concerned with the inability to pass the football, but it is very difficult to complain about a team that rushes the football for a billion yards and dominates at the line of scrimmage. Like, why would you pass? You controlled the clock. You controlled the tempo of the game. And they had a linebacker from Washington say that he looked forward to stopping the run. They think they're going to run. They're not going to run on us. And then they, you know, Michigan put the foot right in the mouth there. Blake Corum went for 171 and 3 touchdowns. Hassan Haskins, really the sledgehammer there for 155 and a score. It's very difficult for me to complain about that, except for Cade McNamara, 7 of 15 for 44 yards. I love, absolutely love the Jim Harbaugh quote that said, hey, sometimes you're very good on the ground. You're very good in the air, right? He said George Patton, very good at the ground. Neil Armstrong, very good in the air, right? At the end of the day, mission accomplished. And, you know, of course, there was some snark and some cynicism online, because that's how people are. You know, somebody said, Neil Armstrong, there's no air in space. Yeah, but there's a lot of air getting to space. So, you know, 30,000 plus feet of air. But whatever, not going to argue with, you know, these kinds of people out there. They're just going to take everything Jim Harbaugh says and, you know, and diss it, when I actually really enjoyed it. I think it's funny. I think it's entertaining. But that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to run the ball. So I'm looking forward to, in this game against Northern Illinois, working on some elements of the pass game. I like the aggressive play calling from Jim Harbaugh, going for it on that fourth and one, and then immediately taking advantage of a defense that just ran off the field, took their helmets off, sat down. You get that fourth down conversion. Now they got to run back onto the field. Boom, you strike right away. You catch them off guard, catch them off balance, and you catch them for a 60-plus yard touchdown. I really enjoyed that. But here's the other thing. Defensively, there were some causes for concern in that second half for Michigan that I'm not comfortable with because I've seen the way that this plays out. You have a quarterback in Northern Illinois with Rocky Lombardi, who is coming to the Big House this week. The last time he was there, 12 o'clock kickoff on BTN. The last time he was there, he shredded you. So you need to remember that. And I would put his face on popsicle sticks, you know, little cutouts there. I would plaster that all over the facility. Like, do you remember the last time this guy was here and you were a 24-point favorite and he clowned you for four quarters? Let's make sure this is the most miserable Saturday of his life. So that does concern me. On the Michigan State side of things, we talked about Xavier Henderson. Am I correct there? Xavier Henderson, the interception that was absolutely phenomenal. Michigan State did what they needed to do against an FCS program. They took care of business. I'm not worried about Youngstown State scoring, you know, 14 points. That doesn't bother me whatsoever. And if you're a Spartan fan, that shouldn't bother you either. Because when you look at, you know, where that game is at halftime, the control of the football game, the way that the offense looked, I think you could feel very confident. I really like Peyton Thorne, what he's been able to do passing the football. I think that he looks really good. I think the passing game in general looks better. And I think that from a Michigan State fan perspective here, if you're watching the Spartans, watching Mel Tucker's offense has got to be like the biggest exhale that you've been able to have in like 5 to 6 years, because it's like, hey, it's
been a long time.
It's been a long time. And they did exactly what I wanted them to do going into this game. Kenneth Walker, I saw some people like, oh, is he injured? Pitch count. You don't need to run him 100 times. It was like, if you take this young man who just put up this performance against Northwestern and you want to run him for whatever statistical basis that you want, because you want, you got to throw that stuff out the window. This is a very intelligent move. You get some different running backs involved. Kenneth Walker carries the rock 7 times for what, 57 yards and a score. That's good. You're done here, kid. Take your helmet off, sit down, protect that young man at all costs, because you're going to need him when it's important and when it counts. What's important and what counts for, against this game against Youngstown State, you know, when you're up, what, 42-7 or 35-7 or whatever it was at halftime, getting some other guys some reps. That's all we have for today. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. The coach, Jeff Blashill, he will join us at 8 o'clock. So we'll see you then here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.